So the epistle for the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Philippians chapter 3 and 4. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowness, made like to the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby also he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and my most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of Evodia and I beseech Syntyche to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 9. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, be of good heart, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a rout, he said, give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hands. And the maid arose, and the fame hereof went abroad into all of that country. Please stand, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. As I mentioned to you last week when we spoke on marriage, I'd mentioned that the district had asked us if we could give 3 sermons that we would give in the month of October and November on marriage, and so I thought that I would take advantage of this Sunday to give the last sermon. As I mentioned, Reverend tied in the idea of marriage and the family being the social unit of society with Christ the King. And we spoke last Sunday on the sanctity of marriage. And with the sanctity of marriage, as I mentioned to you, and what it means for the spouses, that there is much to consider of how then the spouses can be able to sanctify their souls in the vocation that was chosen by God for them. That with these graces and blessings come responsibilities. And then that is something then to speak on today. Obviously, some of the responsibilities that as spouses that they have toward their family. And one that is to have a truly Catholic home. Several years back, the vice rector of the seminary, when asked about why there is such a lack of vocations, he said many families go to the traditional mass, but that is where it stops. Little distinguishes the Catholic home from the next door neighbor non-Catholic home. The TV, the music, the movies, the dress, it's all the same. And so from that, as the vice rector, yes, he was trying to answer a question on why there's a lack of vocations. And I think it sums up very well then the whole sense, the whole idea of a non-Catholic home. Because through a Catholic home, then that is where vocations will come from. And not just religious vocations, but also strong Catholic vocations to the married state, even to the single life, for them to follow their faith. Because I think it is something in tradition that we all lament. Why sometimes our young adults leave the faith? You know, why is it? What is it that causes them to leave the faith? And so it's something for us to consider, something for us to think about. And as I say, it's also very important for us to realize then the obligation that you have in having a truly Catholic home. Because as I say, that is what will produce vocations. Strong vocations to the religious life, a willingness to sacrifice. Strong vocations to then start a true Catholic family on their own too. Because without that, that is why then we have a lack of vocations. And I would say that is also why then we have children leave the faith. I mean, it's not the answer to it, but I think it is one strong answer to it. Because for them, if they see there's no different from their lifestyle than the people next door, what is the point to living a Catholic life? Why should they go to a traditional Mass that demands more? That you have the whole sense, the whole idea, and the understanding of living according to the commandments of Almighty God. And so for them, why not take the easier approach? Leave the faith either completely or go to something that is much more simpler for them. Pope Pius XII had pointed out that a materialism can creep into even the most Christian homes and ultimately ruin a Catholic family. And he said, for this evil, there is only one remedy. He said, it is the strong faith of the parents. And so that is something that I encourage you families, especially you spouses, to read, Dear Newlyweds, which were addresses of Pope Pius XII that he gave to those that were just married. But I think it's something that is a great book for you also to reflect upon and to read, because it goes through the whole understanding of Catholic home. What are the obligations of a Catholic home? And how important it is to start off on the right foot. Yes, he's speaking to those that are just married. And so he encourages them, he helps them, and tries them to see what are the responsibilities that they have. Because it's much easier for people than, yes, just to live the way of the world, come to the Mass here, but their family life is really no different than that. And that is a shame, because their children will see that, and for them, they will ask the question, why bother? And so that's where he says the remedy for this materialism that can creep in is the strong faith of the parents, because through their example, they will show to the children why they must fight against that materialism. He goes on to say, which through their example, their religious instruction, the moral education, they will produce children of a solid faith, a strong faith. But it's also because of the example of the faith that the parents have, that they hand on, that they pass on to their children. Because I think that is something that is important for you to realize, what are you passing on? What are you handing on to your children? Are you showing them a love for the faith? Are you showing them the importance that the faith means to you? Or is it just put to the side for just Sundays and that's it? Is that all? Is that what the children see? We go to Mass on Sunday and that's all we have. That's our obligation. I mean, that is what you have to try to see. What are the responsibilities then that come from starting a Catholic home? Many responsibilities are there, yes, financially. You have all these different concerns that you have to pay your bills, just as we have to pay the bills. I understand that. I realize that. But first and foremost, you are meant to get each other to heaven, as we spoke last week. But then also stemming from that, if God blesses you with children, you are obliged to get them to heaven. And that will be part of your judgment. And so, therefore, you must try to give them a Catholic foundation, a Catholic home, so that the seed of the faith will grow in that environment. So that is why Pius XII says so strongly that it is the parents' example that will help to produce good children. But if the parents are caught up with television, movies, rock music, or whatever, well, that's the example that goes to the children. And so for them, it becomes empty words of maybe what we tell to them at school. Because that's not what their family life is, so what does father know? And so that is why it's so important for you to understand what your home must be like. I remember a priest who was stationed with me. He was covering one of the missions. And so with the missions, a lot of times we have to stay at the family's homes. And so he told the families from the pulpit, he said, well, I'll visit all of your homes. Whether you sign up for me or not, I will come and visit your homes. He said, if I have to sit outside your house waiting for you to invite me in, he said, I will. He was trying to give them the understanding of some parents probably wouldn't have the priest over because maybe their home isn't fit to have a priest in it. And it's not just because, okay, maybe your house isn't the cleanest in the world or different thing. We're human too, so the people who come clean our house, the parishioners, they know we're not the cleanest people in the world, so that's not the question. It is because there are probably things in the home that they'd rather the priest not see. Whether it's the music that is there, whether the movies that they have there, whether it's the big screen television that they have propped out in the living room, the priest comes over, all of a sudden a sheet goes over it. It's like, yeah, we're doing some work on the walls. We had to cover that with a sheet. It's like, oh, okay. Looks like a television. It's like, well, it's just to cover up the hole there. No, so I mean, it was funny the way that he said it to the parishioners, and he told him, he said, I will come to your house. He said, I'll eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich out in your driveway, and then before you allow me to come in, then fine. He was trying to get the point across to them that they shouldn't be afraid to have the priest over, because the priest can guide them and help them then. And so I think that's important for us to understand that our home, yes, should be open to the priest in a sense of we have nothing to hide because it is a Catholic home. We wouldn't be embarrassed for the priest to see our children's rooms. It's like, don't go in there. And it's not maybe because it's a bit sloppy. We see that at school, so we know that some of the children are sloppy. So it's not a question of that, but maybe they have things in their room that, yes, they probably shouldn't. And so that's where then, do you have a Catholic home? Would you be embarrassed to have the priest walk in? Or in a sense, our Lord Jesus Christ, see what your home is really like. And so that's where Pius XII tells us the parents help in that. And granted, sometimes for the parents, they try to raise their children properly, they try to help them, and the children go astray. I mean, obviously, before the eyes of God, they've done all that they can. But that is what is important. And so it's good for us to see that the popes have spoken on this. It's good for us to see that the popes have written about this. And some of these things are very easy for us to find, to read, to study, to meditate upon, to contemplate, to think about. I mean, what better things for you parents than to be able to talk about is what is the Catholic ideal of a home? Where are we falling short? How are we falling short? Pius XI stated, in an ideal Catholic home, the parents strive to instill in their children from the earliest years a holy fear of God and true Christian piety, helping them to understand that they need to be holy, pious, instilling in them. But obviously we can't give what we don't have, so the parents have to be working on that themselves. A holy fear of God, true Christian piety, to be able to give that to their children. They foster a tender devotion to Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament, and the Immaculate Virgin. He continues, in such a home, the children see in their parents holy loving each other in our Lord. See them approach the holy sacraments frequently. So again, it goes back to the idea of the example of the parents. He see that the parents, the child sees the parents love each other. He also sees the parents frequenting the sacraments. What better example to give to our children? Going to confession regularly, showing the importance of taking care of the soul, receiving Holy Communion frequently. What better example to your children than that? And that is what Pius XI is stating. And then he says, he goes on, and the children see them pray at home so the common prayer may rise all the more acceptably to heaven. The importance of the family praying together. Famous saying, the family that prays together stays together. And so when we will lament the fact of our young adults leaving the faith and wondering why, here are at least some answers to it. As I said, it's not the end all, it's not all the answers to it. But I promise if you try to follow what these popes are saying, what they're giving to us as an example, your children will have a much better chance of staying with the faith. Because for one, they will not see its empty words that they hear on Sundays or at school or even from your own lips, because you are living that life. That you are trying to strive and help them to get to heaven, not just be normal with the way the world is. And so those are the responsibilities that you have. As I say, with the blessings and the graces that God gives to you through marriage, certainly comes responsibilities. And that's something for all of us to understand. We have responsibilities. And so therefore we need to understand that. We need to understand it so well that we live it. And so therefore we need to pray. We need to pray, we need to sacrifice, and in some ways we need to change our life if we have to. Think about your home. Think about, is it a truly Catholic home? Is it something that you wouldn't be afraid for our Lord Jesus Christ to come into? If it is, then you have some work to do. You have some changes that need to be made. And so I would say, pray. Pray and understand that. Pray for the graces to truly understand the responsibilities that God has given to you. And that's why I think a lot of times, sometimes people don't understand that or recognize that. They don't realize all of the responsibilities that are given to them. But I think it's also fitting on this 23rd Sunday, in the epistle of what it says. And I think it's for those that do not live a truly Catholic life, do not have a true Catholic home, that this would be fitting for. That they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. Because for them, the world is what encompasses for them. And that is what is dangerous for us when we become too comfortable with the world around us. We don't realize the sacrifices. We don't realize what we must try to do in order to have a Catholic home. As I say, what the vice rector had said several years ago, television, movies, dress, if we just look like the people next door to us, that's not a truly Catholic home. Unless you have truly Catholic families living right next door to you. That would be great then. But if not, it is something that we must consider now. And for you parents to consider the obligations that Almighty God has given to you because of the vocation that He has asked from you. And so it requires a lot of prayer and it requires a lot of sacrifice, as I mentioned last week. But in a sense, that is your ticket to heaven. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.